Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We exalt you, Lord. We love you so much, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We praise your holy, holy name. We invite you, Jesus. We welcome you. We're here to honor you, give reverence to you, give you glory and honor and praise. You alone are worthy, Jesus, and it is truly our joy to honor you, exalt you, magnify you. You are so welcome in this place. We come here for you, Jesus. We come here because we love you, because we want you, and we need you. You're all we long for, Jesus. We love to whisper sweet words of adoration in your ear. We love to glorify your name, Jesus. You are great. You are so great, God. You are a mighty God. You are worthy, Lord. We exalt you because of who you are and because of who you are in us. We exalt you. We thank you for your greatness. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, your goodness. You are our God. You are our God, and we worship you with everything that is in us today. We welcome you with all our heart, Jesus. We welcome you, Lord. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise, even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. For thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reacheth unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all this earth. Hallelujah, Jesus. Be exalted, Lord. Be exalted. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory fill this whole earth, Lord. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you today. We give you glory. We love you. We honor you. We bless your name, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you praise. You're worthy of it all, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy of it all, Lord. We love you. We love you, Jesus. There's no place we'd rather be than right here in your presence. Giving you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We worship you. We worship you, King of kings, my Lord of lords. I worship you, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. We give you glory. We give you glory, Jesus. We worship you. We love you, Jesus. We love you because of who you are, Jesus. We give you glory. Lord God Almighty, we bless your name today. We bless your name today, Jesus. We worship you. We love you. We honor you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you. We adore you. You're all we'll ever need, Jesus. You're all that we long for. Glorify you. Exalt you. Exalt you, Jesus. I was made to worship you, Jesus. I was made to give you glory, made to sing you praise. We worship you. We worship you, Lord. We belong to you. We belong to you, Lord. We are your instruments of worship. We are your songs of praise. We glorify you. We honor you. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you, Lord. We worship you. Let your glory fill this house as we worship you, as we gaze upon you, as we look into your holiness, Jesus, as we worship you. Have your way in this house, Lord. Have your way. Your glorious King. You are glorious King, arrayed in beauty, arrayed in glory, arrayed in majesty, Lord. Majestic Savior, we worship you. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love to worship you. Bless your holy name, Jesus. We worship you. We worship you. You are the melody of our hearts, Lord Jesus. We exalt you. We give you praise. We give you honor, Jesus. You're worthy of it all, Jesus. You're worthy of it all, Jesus. Worship you. Worship you. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I worship you. Give you glory. Give you praise. Love you more, Jesus. We worship you. Our hearts long for you, Lord. We long for you, Jesus. We love you. We worship you. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you. All the praises. All the glory, Lord. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. We worship you. We love you, Jesus. We sing praises to your name, Jesus. Sweet Lord Jesus. All-powerful God. King of glory. We worship you. We love you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Glory, glory, glory to you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We exalt you. We praise you. We adore you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you. Worship you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. We worship you. You alone, Lord. There is none beside you. There is none beside you, Jesus. We worship you because you alone, Lord Jesus. You alone are worthy. You alone, Jesus. You deserve the glory. You deserve the praise. We magnify you. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you. Worship you. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. We worship you. We adore you, Jesus. You are the worthy one. We give you praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Lord. You're wonderful, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you. I worship you, Lord. I worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Worship you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I exalt you, Lord. Magnify you, Jesus. Give you glory, Lord. Give you praise. I worship you, Jesus. You are welcome here, Lord. You are welcome, Jesus. Exalt you, Lord. Hallelujah. Above all things, Lord, we want you to have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to you.
You're yours,
God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah.
We worship you, Lord. We
hallelujah.
You.
Just stand and just lift those hands.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord.
We
praise
you. We magnify you, Jesus. We glorify you.
We
exalt your name together. We praise you, Jesus. You're worthy. Worthy, 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 Jesus. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord. We want you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We worship
you.
Thank you, Jesus.
We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Me commando que desse diato. Moco le mende que desse. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We
magnify you. We glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Continue to worship and you can be seated. Just continue to magnify him. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. Magnify you, glorify you. Come on, worshipers, let's just magnify him and glorify him. We exalt you, Jesus. We praise and magnify you, Jesus. I magnify you, Jesus, and glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We praise and exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you. I exalt you, Jesus. Mandata so. Mandakerese vedea. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lamb. We exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Masakirid. Worthy. Worthy, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. Ando solo que say. Jesus. Mahote. Worthy, Jesus. Yes, sir. Blessed be the Lamb. Blessed be the Lamb. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Magnify you. Thank you. se vediando che la sia o de frente cicala con de bestie ne hit frost e brando pata istievro balasiende. For I've not given you, those of you that are born of my spirit, a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, saith the Spirit of grace. I placed within you at your conception, the moment that you received the new nature, a capacity to go forth, not only to go forth, but to reconcile those things that are not to those things that should be, to bring my will into the earth, to understand the dying and the lost. They have no hope except the hope that you bring. For I've not given to you a spirit of timidity wherein you cave under these times, but rather that which launches forth and brings forth with answers in abundance to those that are waiting to hear. For the world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm calling you forth to be who you are and what you are, to understand where you're from and where you're going, and to walk into that capacity, saith the Spirit of grace. Now is the time. Now is the season for you to come forth. Lay aside every weight and sin that would easily beset, and run with extreme patience the race that is set before you, knowing that the fight is not yours, but the fight has been given to you through my Spirit to win on every way, on every place, every threshold, saith the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. About it, do you think we're going to take our region for him? I believe it. When he sent out the 70, they came back to him and they said, "We can't believe it. The devils were subject to us in your name. The same works that you were doing, the blind and even the dead were being raised as a result of us just speaking your name." All kinds of supernatural. He sent them out two by two. 35 pair went out. And then they all met back together at a certain location, and they were utterly amazed. "We cast out devils in your name. We raised the dead, healed the sick, and blind were made whole." All kinds of incredible miracles. Jesus, you'd think just for no reason why, he just started talking about. In their response, to their response, to respond to them, he just started talking about, "Well, I saw Satan fall as a star from the sky. I saw him fall. "Oh, that's what you saw? That's what you've been doing while we've been going out evangelizing?" No. What he was saying was this: when you went you did those, and you cast out devils in my name, and you did all those things that I asked you to do, and all the works of God were performed in all those major cities that you went to. What he was saying was, I could tell you what you couldn't see, behind the scenes. What happened in those places is that the principality that ruled over that place, the devil that kept all of anything ever happening century after century from God being able to penetrate the darkness in that place. Because you went in my name and because you stood there and you began to cast out devils and heal the sick, the principality that was over that place, and the lodging devil that had all of everything locked down, he had it locked down, and he kept people under fear and torment and sickness and disease and just killed them at will, blind, every kind of damnable thing. He said, when you went, I beheld Satan fall. I saw him fall from his place. He wasn't just talking about an individual spirit. He was talking about every single place that they went into. They penetrated darkness, and whatever was over that region or whatever was over that city, it came tumbling down. And that's the only way that it does. You penetrate a region of darkness. Jesus said this, you cannot free someone except you first bind the strong man and cast him out. Then if you bind him and cast him out, every other thing that's attached to that, like death and fear and all those other trailing devils, they have to go along with it. Amazing enough, he was able to see into a place and then relate that to us and let us know what that place actually looked like and actually what happens when somebody has the authority to go in there and to get that done. His brethren, not his disciples, but his brethren said, look, you need to go up to the feast and show yourself. No man who is anything hides himself in obscurity, but should be known. If you really are who you say you are, then why don't you go up and expose yourself with signs and wonders and let Israel exalt you? The word said, he said this, my time is not yet. In other words, it said in previous verses, it said the Jews of late sought to stone him. They were going to kill him. They were ready and posed. Their posture was to take him out right then at that point. But the Father had better plans. He was eventually, years later, going to die under the penalty of all men's sins. But what he had to answer them was this, at this point in time, my time is not yet. But your time, he said to them, even his brethren, his physical brothers, he said, your time is always. Meaning this, I'm living in destiny. I'm living in a purpose. I'm living in a call. I'm living in something. It's an umbrella. It's a sphere. It's something that God, my Father, has placed me in because I've turned myself over to him. And he said, my time's not yet. They can't kill me, they can't take me, nor will I follow your direction to do what you think I should be doing, because I can hear my Father, and my Father says, and the word says that he stayed, he would not go. And then after they left, a little bit later, he left and went and did what his Father wanted him to do. But the whole essence is this. He said, look, I'm living in destiny because I can see beyond. I can see beyond what you cannot see. I can see this. The enemy wants to kill me before my time, but my time's not yet. But he said to them, look, you're not yet born again, and you're not living in the Father. And as a result of it, your time is always. Listen, what we've been commissioned of God to do is to bring a region, a city, and a region into a place of destiny. Jesus, they come to him again at another time and they said, look, they brought up to him. They wanted to know. They were asking, they were giving him a fact so that they could ask a question. In other words, they were give him a statement so that he could answer something. They said, what do you think about the men that have was recently killed at the altar by Herod's men? Do you think that they were sinners above all sinners? Do you think that God chose their destiny as a result of them being bad boys, and then good guys live and then bad boys die? Or do you think that's what happened? Jesus said no. And beyond that, I'll tell you this. What about he pulled up a current event. He said, you know, that big tower of Shalom, that one that they were building, and it crushed all those people and it fell, and moms and dads were in tears and people were going crazy and they were trying to do something good, and then something fell on them. He said, I say not that they were sinners above other sinners. They didn't die because God just chose for them at that point in time. I'm going to call your number now because I need a flower in heaven, or I'm going to judge you. He said, I say not. He said, but this is it. You'll likewise, all of you listening, he said, you'll likewise perish as they, not meaning that they necessarily would go in tragedy, but he was saying this, if you're not in the Father, like I'm in the Father, your time can be up at any time because you're not in destiny. You live in a world where Satan rules and reigns, where he can step in. Jesus said in John 10, I say to you, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. I've come, the thief, but then he draws a line and he said, look, please distinguish who I am. The thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come to have to give you life. Life beginning at the new nature, and then life that continues to walk you through the rest of your life with purpose and with destiny and call. Well, brother, do you think that God sometimes kills people just so he can teach other people a lesson? If he does, then you can have this pulpit. I'm walking out of here. I don't know that God. My God sent one, his name is Jesus, to represent who he is in the earth. And when he came, the word says he healed all that ever came before him. And he continued to say, my Father gives life. My Father does not come to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's not his purpose. You stand over a region like this, God begins to call on you to be seers. The Old Testament prophets were called seers. They could look in and see beyond. They could look in and see beyond what the present talk of the nation was. They could see where things were really at. That's what Jesus, he was the ultimate seer. They came back and said, we've been casting out devils. He goes, I know. I saw him when he fell. If he hadn't have fallen, you wouldn't have been able to cast out any devils. And the reason why they fell, spiritually speaking, is because my name was mentioned and there's authority. Even though you disciples, you're not yet spiritually alive, my umbrella went with you. And oh, you guys are going to live until it's time for you to die. And I'm going to live until it's time for me to die because I have a purpose. Now, we've been called to a regional revival. That has not happened yet, but it is on its way. The blind will see and the lame will walk and the deaf will hear and the dumb will speak. Hallelujah. Now I understand there was another young man that was killed last night. And do you know what? Until people ever begin to have their eyes washed with the blood of Christ, begin to know what stands over a city, what heralds itself in the background while people are talking about all kinds of superficial things that really, oh, maybe drugs did it or alcohol did it. No, There's a huge force called a principality standing over a region, sending out devils to kill and to steal and to destroy and depress a society where they can't even look up. And then when they do look up, they believe crazy things about God, that like maybe God is doing this for some purpose, or maybe he's just in it. Listen, we stand on the threshold of a great outpouring. We stand on the threshold. Satan will come in every way possible to contradict God's call and God's emphasis and everything that he said that you were called to do. And another thing that he'll do is, listen, do you think for just, if you could just see a little bit, can you not connect dots? Just connect dots. If Jesus looked and saw when things really begin to move in the spirit realm towards revival in those cities, that satanic spirits had to be cast down to a place where they could not control the people anymore. We're about to have the most spiritual week that we have all year long. And I warned you last week that he'll come every way possible to try to stop you from being here, to offer every excuse possible for you not to be here. Because it's a miraculous week. But don't you think that he'll come over a city, the enemy, start killing people, doing whatever he can to depress a situation that has within it the answers for a society to be free? Listen, there's a whole lot of kids out there in our city. They've been forsaken by fathers who thought it was the macho man thing to do to have three or four. About 90% don't know what it's like to have a father that's always been true to a mother. And always, because he's I'm the man. I can have me two or three on the side. That's a demonic spirit that's reigned over our city. It's lust, and it has fear and torment in it. And that region, that devil thrives, and then when he steps forward and he starts killing people, he kills them at the expense of people running around saying, let's have barbecues, and let's have put on t-shirt marathons to save people and help people and do things to try to affect the natural, never looking up and saying, there's a principality over the region. And it kills and it steals and it destroys until somebody stops talking small talk and says, let's go to our knees. Let's go to a place of fasting and prayer and a place where demonic spirits must come down and they can't kill anymore. And they can't cause dads to walk out and say, I deserve this, because no one woman can handle me. Filled with pompous pride and arrogance, never knowing that their end is a lake of fire. But does God want them there? My God, no. Is there anyone that can stand up, look into a place of outer darkness and say, wait a minute, it's not a society issue. It's not a poor issue. It's not a rich issue. It's not a white issue or a Hispanic issue or a black issue. It's a spiritual issue. Guess what? You're here to hear the truth and to understand that Jesus loves you and he gave his eternal life, his blood for you. He wants you more than anything else. That's why we're crying out, God, we don't hate him. We want the homosexual in here. We want the lesbian in here. We want the guy that's got 6, 8, 10 girls on the side. We want him in here. We want him to love him, but we don't want him to stay the same. We want them to be washed in the blood. We want them to be forgiven. And we want those demonic spirits that inhabited them for years. Oh, demonic spirits only happen to people in Africa. That so many of your friends, so many of your family members have demonic spirits living inside of them. Now don't worry, they're not going to kill you. They're not that bad. They just don't know what to do with their problem. Jesus is the source of our answer. He's above suicide. He's above murder. He's above fornication. He's above adultery. Jesus is our answer. If we keep going like we're going, we've already run into a major confrontation and He's staring us down. The most beautiful part of my life, and I say this with absolute truth, is to be true to my commander-in-chief and to look up into the face of some Goliath that taunts and froths at the mouth saying, you will not have what you have said that you will have. And to stand and say, this day will I take your head off of your shoulders. Hallelujah. This day, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. That's where we'll fist bump over there, my brother. Glory. Glory to God. If you'd just pray with me right now, if you'd bow your head for just a moment. Let me throw out a little net. If you're here this morning, and if your life, the way it is right now, is a mess, and you find no answers, though you've tried everything, and maybe you haven't tried everything, but it doesn't seem like it's getting any better, you need Jesus. Jesus loves you more than words can say. You're here this morning because we've been praying for you. You have a purpose, a destiny, a call. Satan cannot. If you enter into that place, a destiny and call, he cannot destroy you before your time. You have destiny and your purpose. I'm asking you this morning to let me pray for you. If you're concerned about your eternal life, if you're not sure, if you leave this building and you were to die today, killed in a car wreck, well, that doesn't happen. Four have been killed just in the last few days. Let me tell you something. I know the one that can hold you in a place where he can't get to you. He can't get to you. And I can tell you this. Those thoughts of fear and suicide and death and destruction, they're not from the God that I serve. He loves you more than words can say. If you're here this morning and you're not sure where you stand with God, you say, well, I believe in God. That won't get you to heaven. I once prayed to God. That won't get you to heaven. Well, a priest sprinkled me. That won't get you to heaven. My family members are praying for me. That won't get you to heaven. Jesus said this, you must be born again. You must be born again. What does that mean? It means that Christ, through the Holy Spirit, must come inside through your confession of faith. You personally, not through someone else, not through a preacher or a priest, but you personally must say, Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and I purpose to serve you for the rest of my life. When you do that, the Word says if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we will be born again. If you're here this morning and you're concerned about your place and whether or not you're really ready to go, I just want to pray for you right now. Would you slip up your hand and let me pray for you if there's anybody here? Okay, I see a couple of hands. I know, yes, I see that hand. You can put it down now. Thank you. Others, thank you. I see another hand. Anyone else want to be included in on this prayer? See your hand. See your hand. You can put them down. Some of you are, yes, thank you. Thank you. Some of you may be in a place where you're just having a conscience check, where you just want to make sure that you know, that you know, that you know. And that's okay too. That's okay too. I want you to be clear on this. One more time, if you're not really 100% sure, if you haven't already raised your hand, just slip it up. Okay. Okay, I see those. Thank you. I'm going to pray this prayer. I'm going to pray for you. Then I'm going to ask you to do something else, because there were several hands. And some probably already there, but some not sure. Congregation, let's pray, and you pray with me. And you pray silently, I'll pray out loud. Father, I just pray for these who are hearing the conviction of the Lord and the love of God. I'm not their Savior. This church is not their Savior. But Jesus, you bore in your body all of everything. You died for the penalty of our sins, so that when we do die, we'll not spend eternity in hell, but we'll spend eternity with Christ. I'm asking you this morning to complete this work and cause it to come to a full place in Jesus' name. Draw them now, Lord, in this harvest, we pray. Amen. Now, there were several that raised your hands, and some, as I said, may just need that extra assurance, and that's okay. I promise you that I will not embarrass you as if to ask you to say anything or address the crowd. I don't want to embarrass anybody. But this is a pivotal point in your life. This is a point for you to change and take another step into the assurance of who you are, who God wants you to be. This won't last but about just a few minutes, 5 minutes. I just want to personally pray a prayer with you, a sinner's prayer. I'm asking that everybody that raised your hand, would you please come and stand here right in front of me? Please. Just come and stand and face me. You don't have to face a crowd. Just come and stand and face me. Thank you. Some of my preachers and elders to stand, please. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, obviously, the Lord is, He's dealing with all of our hearts. And He knows what it takes to change. And even though they're for many of you, there's probably already been that place of change. He wants to take you to a place of assurance. This is good. This is really good. This is the beginning of change for you. Let me tell you real quick, and just listen. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart, that's all you have to do. You're not joining this church. I hope to see you again, but you don't have to. This church, you don't have to come back to this church to be saved. I'm asking you, this is what the Word says. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that you believe personally that Jesus Christ died and was resurrected for you personally, for your sins, you will be saved. So I'm just going to lead you in a simple prayer, and I'm going to ask all of us to pray that, but especially all of you. Let's pray this together and just simply mean it. That's all you have to do. And God will do the rest of the work. Amen. Say this, Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe that Jesus died for me personally. I believe that he shed his blood so that I could go to heaven. I believe that when I pray, all my sins are washed away. Father, come into my life. Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me even now fresh in the blood of Jesus. I receive you, Lord, as my Lord and Savior, and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What's your name? Amy. I'm trying to remember. Yes. Yes. Amy said that she's prayed that prayer for the first time today. That's good. Hallelujah. Renewing. Hallelujah. So many of these just renewing a place of commitment. Hallelujah. It's good to see. What's your name again? Jameer. Nice to meet you. God bless. Hallelujah. Praise God. Place of renewal. Okay. What kind of surgery? Okay. I just believe right now that when they get in there, they're going to find that it's all fixed. And if they have to do anything, it's going to be very little. Stretch your hands. Jesus. I release the power of God. This operation in the name of Jesus is done now in the name of Jesus. I release your life and your glory to her. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. She's having an operation tomorrow. She said she goes. She wants to know that she's going in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I release the life. Your life now in the name of Jesus. And I command this thing to be corrected, even to be cinched up and sewn together now by the power of God in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Well, some of these for the first time, some as a reassurance. I'm going to ask the rest of you to stand with them. I'm going to release them back. These are the first people that you want to hug. The first people that you want to hug and just say congratulations. Hallelujah. God bless you. And if I don't know you and if you don't come here regularly, please, that beautiful lady in white, wave at Miss Gay. See her before the church service is over and give us your name and phone number. I won't call you to ask you for money. I'm just going to call you and say, I love you and I'm praying for you, okay? God bless you. Go ahead and you're blessed. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, let me exhort you for just a few minutes and then let you go. Hallelujah. Isn't it beautiful outside? It's wonderful. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just imagine these kind of settings and people coming that you didn't invite. And they don't even know why they're coming. But something just woke them up in the middle of the night and said, "Do you need to go to church?" And then he highly suggested, that sounds like an inside joke. Then he highly suggested a place that's on the forefront of town. They remembered, I remember that church right coming down the road, and before I get in the city, it's right there. I thank you strategically positioned us. Hallelujah. And we'll stay in this little broom closet as long as we can. But dear God, if anything close to what we've been confessing for 17 years comes into our sphere, I don't know. I'm a little afraid in a good sense of, I don't know where we're going to all wind up. I hope they've got some big packing houses that we can air condition that they're not using. I think a big packing house will work real good if we can. We're going to need a place to seat thousands. Hallelujah. For the time being, we're just enjoying the ride tremendously. Praise God. Well, you have a part in that. And here's the part. Turn with me to Luke. And this is a familiar portion of Scripture, chapter 16. How many of you know Pastor Dave is coming next Sunday? Amen. Hallelujah. If I were you, I would live in some kind of godly fear of missing any of those services. Because you're going to see somebody, not him, I haven't talked to him in a little bit, but somebody that's coming down, it'll be staying with me actually. They said they were in South Carolina just a couple weeks ago and four wheelchairs were emptied there. A lady that had been in a wheelchair for 20-something years got up and he just said, okay, you're healed, and prayed for her and walked off, and she followed him off. So praise God. We're going to see a lot of miracles next week, people, a lot of miracles. We've been seeing a lot of miracles for a while anyway. Bring the skeptics. Bring somebody that says, I don't believe in miracles. I love to see people's faces. When I was in Tulsa, I saw probably, maybe anywhere from 50 to 100 people's arms and legs grow out. At least that many. A John Deere tractor could not have pulled them out. People that were bent over, people that were partially crippled, I guess you might say. And we're going to see miracle after miracle next week. I hope some blind people come in here. We're expecting the blind to be healed. Just people that don't believe in miracles, I just beg them to get here just so they can watch. Praise the Lord. Isn't that going to be good? Luke chapter 16, Jesus is teaching. And we don't have time. The prodigal son was in 15. And there's really a bigger, we try to teach the bigger picture here and then we teach the individual. Jesus is teaching to the, in 15 he's talking about the prodigal son, but he's also talking about the religious son. And the big picture is he was talking to the nation of Israel and to the leaders. And he's basically saying, I'm calling the harlots and the prostitutes, the unbelieving, and they're coming in before you. And you scribes and Pharisees, you've always been in the Father's house, but you've never recognized that you're a Father's son. That's the bigger picture. But the individual picture is this. The prodigal son was that one that had went off and squandered all of his father's living. And then the son that stayed in the house, he'd stayed there, and when his brother came back, the word says he wouldn't even go into the house. He stayed outside. Well, Jesus was talking. He goes right into 16. He's still on kind of the same subject because he's talking to the Pharisees. And he said unto them and unto his disciples, but the Pharisees were listening, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. How many of you know what a steward is? Somebody that takes your money and is supposed to be using your money to profit you. And somebody said, well, I'll look after my own money. Well, if you're rich enough, sometimes you have somebody that, you know, you don't have time for that. You just, if you got plenty, then you trust somebody to look after it. He was his accountant, or even more so, his steward, somebody looking after his money. There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. Now, I had always read that kind of wrong. I'd preached that he embezzled it, but it doesn't even say that he embezzled it. Embezzlement means he was taking it on the side himself. But it said he wasted his goods. In other words, he just wasn't using it in the right way. He wasn't doing what he was called to do. He was squandering it on a lot of other stuff when that wasn't the intent for his master or his rich man, what he wanted really done. And somebody came and told the rich man, hey, do you know how this guy's spending your money? And so he called him on the carpet. Then he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear of this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest no longer be my steward. In other words, you are fired. You're out of here. I'm putting you out of your stewardship. Then the steward said unto himself, not to the rich man, but he said as he's walking off, he imagined or thought this within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away the stewardship. I cannot beg, or I cannot dig, or to beg, I am ashamed. I'll read that again for clarification. I cannot dig, to beg, I am ashamed. In other words, this guy, he must have been a pencil pusher. He had no idea of what it felt like to get blisters on his hands or lift a shovel in the heat of the day or do any manual labor. So he's like, I take an account of myself. I'm a frail guy. And he was a, you know, little sissy on the side, I guess. I can't get out in the heat. I won't do that. To go around and beg, once you've been in a prestigious position, like everybody knew him as so-and-so Stewart, well, he's a rich guy's right-hand man. So now what are you going to do? You're going to go around and beg? I mean, that's a real demotion. So he reconciled, I can't do either of those. I'm resolved what to do. That when I'm put out, evidently, this was a transitional thing. It wasn't like called on the carpet, bye, see you later, I don't want to ever see you again. He must have said, go get the books, bring them back here. You've got them at your house. Bring them back here, bring back all my stuff. I mean, it took a little bit of time. So it wasn't like all of a sudden, bye, see you later, and we never see each other again. There was a transitional time taking place here. He said, I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of my stewardship, when the culmination or the fullness of it comes to pass, that they may receive me into their houses. Who? Well, it says, so he called every one of the Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. That's 80. He's diminishing these each time. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely for the children. And Jesus said this of himself, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. We'll stop right there for a moment, although we've read this many times before. Some of you, this could repeat this to me. But the words of Jesus are very precious. We have to understand what he's saying here. He said that this guy went out, and before everything was totally resolved, during that time when he's bringing the books back, and during that time when he's bringing back all of everything that made him a steward, he still was known as this man's commissioned steward, and he had not yet revoked all of his power. So he went around and used the power of, we would call it in modern society, the power of attorney. In other words, there's people that can sign for you a document if you give them the power of attorney. Stewards are like that. If you trust them to make you millions, and they're supposed to be doing it right, you give them the power to do your business. And this guy had the power to do his rich man's business. While he was doing that, once he got called on the carpet, he still reconciles, look,
One thing I do have, I'm not going to go out in that hot sun, and I'm sure not going to be begging. What do I have left that's available to? Oh, I've still got a week's worth of authority. I've got a measure of authority left in what I can do. I'm going to use it to my advantage. So he goes around, and of course, rich men invest in other things. How many of you ever watched Shark Tank? A couple of you know what that is. These people come in and they say, you know, I need $3 million or I need $1 million. And they tell these, there's a bunch of billionaires there, and these billionaires, they're real smart. They're great businessmen. And there's one woman that usually sits there, and they're all billionaires, not millionaires, billionaires. And they say, okay, I need, some of them will go down to as much as, I've seen some mom and pop deals come in there with needing $25,000, but a lot of them want $1 million, $300,000, you know, big money. And they say, look, I need this money. And they put on a display of what they have invented. And some of the stuff is just incredible. Some of it's not. I wouldn't invest myself. And the billionaires say either, they begin to barter with them. They'll want 20% or 30% if they give them this money for their investment for the rest of whatever time, as long as these things are marketed. Well, this guy goes out that Jesus is talking about, and he begins to take the power of attorney, and whatever the rich man had invested in other people's lives, loaned them, or maybe it had even been business investments, he goes to them and says, okay, how much do you owe the man that I work for? Well, such and such. Okay, I tell you what, sit down right now. I'll settle with you. He'll settle with you. He represented. I'll settle with you for 50% or 30% or 80%. That was a good deal for them. If they could do it, they wrote the check and turned it over. When he goes back and he's put out of his stewardship, and the guy says, okay, this is it. Where's my books? Where's all of everything that I own and all this? Did you bring back, you know, everything? Yes. Oh, here's the books. I want to let you know I did some settlement for you. And he looks at it. You settled with Joe Smo for 50% less. I see you, Susie Q, you settled for 30% less. And the guy's lost millions of dollars, but he goes, you know what? You're a pretty smart cookie. I had not revoked your power of attorney yet. And while you still had it, you went around and settled with all of these. Why? Why did he do that? Jesus said, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, verse 9, make to yourselves friends of the mammon in the same way that this guy did, but yet in a spiritual sense he's talking about, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. And this is what this guy thought in the natural, but then there's a spiritual application. This guy thought, look, I'm going to buy myself friends. I'm going to buy myself as many friends as I can get. Because when I do get put out on the street, they're going to remember me. Hey, remember me? I settled with you. I saved you thousands of dollars. And Jesus said, the children of darkness, by this example, they're wiser than the children of light, because the children of light don't understand what they can do with the power of money. He says, look, this guy bought friends for himself. His failure was not a permanent failure. His failure was a temporary life, during this life kind of failure. Like, this guy's going to go on the street, but as soon as he's on the street, he goes up to Joe Schmo or Susie Q and say, look, you got an extra bedroom? You got any meals? Remember me? I saved you. He probably even said that. He may have. We don't have biblical background on that, but he may have said to these, look, if I settle with you, I might be coming back for a favor. And he probably did. But he had plenty that he could go to. So for the rest of his life, he ensured. Jesus said, look, that guy had a natural failure. But he said, I say unto you, make to yourself friends by, it would be a better translation, by the mammon of unrighteousness, so that when ye fail or when you come to an end, and Jesus wasn't talking about natural things here, he's talking about spiritual things, he says this, that when you fail, verse 9 again, they may receive you into what? Everlasting habitation. Well, nothing in this world is everlasting. So he's talking about heaven there. He's talking about eternity. So the failure is not a failure of life. It's a failure of this is the end of your life. It's over. It's over. There's no more natural things for you to do. You're going into an everlasting habitation. He said this in 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that much is also in much. He that is an unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you to your trust? And Jesus said here, what? True riches. You know what true riches are? It's not money. True riches are people. It's salvation. It's life. And Jesus was, it's the life of people coming to know Christ. And Jesus was saying, look, in the same way that this guy bartered and used the power of attorney for eternity, you have the same capacity. You can take your giving, your hard-earned dollars, and you can transfer that into a place where the giving to the gospel, the giving for the propagation of the gospel, the giving for men's lives to be born again, for people to stand on prayer lines and say, some for the first time this morning, I want to receive Jesus Christ into my life. Do you think that's worth giving to? Absolutely. I think every one of us, that's a foregone conclusion. Jesus was saying, look, in the same way that this guy took the power of money and he bought a favor, he said, do that so that when you fail in this life, they are going to receive you into everlasting habitation. In other words, is this, is when you come, whether it's before someone that you helped get saved through your giving goes, you may go before them or after them, but I guarantee you this, based on what Jesus said, there will come a time where people will thank you. How will it come about? I don't know. God will relate to them. There will be an inspiration by the Holy Spirit. You will be received, in other words, applauded inwardly or outwardly in heaven by the result of you saying, look, I can take money and I can transfer it to buy. You can't pay for people for their salvation. You can make it accessible to them so they can be born again. Only the blood of Jesus will save them. But you can take green. Jesus said it's unrighteous. In other words, it's the least of things, and you can take the least of things and trade it for the true riches. You can take that so that when you fail, when you come to the end of your life, there will be times in heaven and eternity. Hey, eternity, that's all my confessions. Eternity, your name's probably on there. No, eternity's a long time. Can you imagine people coming up to you for eternity and saying, hey, thanks. Thanks for helping out and transferring. Let me give you a great big squeeze, a big kiss on the cheek. Hallelujah. There's going to be a lot of kissing in heaven, the right kind, the right kind. We get an opportunity this morning, and I'm so glad we do. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord what He'd have you to give this morning and get ready. We're going to go out into a beautiful day and spend time with our families. If you're making out a check, make it out the Family Prayer Center. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for this day and all of your blessings. Who you are and what you are is what we're all about. Take us into the next level. Thank you so much for those that were born again this morning. Would you give the Lord a great big hand clap and praise? Hallelujah. And Father, we thank you for what you're going to do next week with signs and wonders and miracles and great things following. In Jesus' name, bless this time of giving, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you as you bring this forward this morning. Greet one another. We love you. Have a wonderful week.